Howdy partners, and welcome back to another edition of the Howdy Partners podcast. I have not said that, I think, in over a month, Will, right? Like, we've taken a pretty decent break, but we're back.
Yeah, and I like how it makes people smile, even myself, whenever we hear it and say it. So it is becoming our thing, which I love. And yeah, now that we've switched to the bi-weekly, it's opened up the calendar very well, and I hope people are still enjoying the cadence and the content, because we are too. We're still committed. We're just one host down now and struggling to get revenue in our businesses, so we're doubling down on that.
Just for our listeners, don't be alarmed if any of the listening frequencies go off. That's probably a good thing, because to Will's point, we also both have jobs, and I think the bi-weekly for us is allowing us to get guests on that we want to talk to and probably hone in on topics more. So we'll cut the chit chat, because that leads me to intro our guest today. Natasha, welcome to the Howdy Partners podcast.
Thank you so much. I was actually just like thinking, wow, that makes me smile when you say that.
Yeah.
So, I love the name. That's so good.
Yeah. We kind of had that live on screen, and both Will and I have different inflection tones. So, you can kind of tell where the episode's going. But we're happy to have you on. So just to kind of tease the topic before Natasha introduces herself today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Nearbound and personal branding. So I'm really curious to dig in on this more. And Natasha, I'll kind of let you introduce yourself. I know you just mentioned you're starting a business. So let's talk about that. And then your take on personal branding. I think that's a really good way to start the show.
Sure. Yeah. And thank you again so much for having me. At the end of last year, I launched Nearpoint Strategies. It wasn't necessarily something that I thought I was going to do at the time, but I had this idea and an offer, and then people wanted to buy it. And I was like, well, I guess I'm starting a business. Like, let's do it, and it's funny because it coincides when I heard, heard more about Nearbound. I'm like, wait a second, I think I've got something here. So, but basically what I do is I help leaders and sales professionals leverage personal branding to drive their sales. It's basically a program I wish I'd had years ago. It's really awesome.
Well, congrats to you first for finding that niche. It's fun when it's kind of like put into your lap. So let's kind of tie this. I'm actually more curious, like, the personal branding side sounds awesome, and like, you're selling yourself, but how do you tie that into Nearbound? Like, where does that connection come in?
Sure. So it was when I heard Nearbound, probably like 3 months prior to this, I was like, wait a second, this is what I've always been doing, like how I've done my sales. I just never like knew a term for it, right? Because it wasn't quite social selling, and it definitely wasn't sales. Like, I kind of steered away from even using the term sales. Yeah. But it was just leveraging your network, referrals, word of mouth, all of your relationships, right, to drive opportunity, whether that's new business or nurturing your current opportunities and clientele. And so when I heard that, I was like, this is what I do. Like, I help people set the foundation of their Nearbound strategy, which is you, right? It's with the person, a human. And then we amplify it through their personal brand, and specifically on LinkedIn in my case.
And what I think is really cool about what you've identified is, like, partner people are also pretty good at that. Like, they're people, they're connecting, they're interconnecting. They're always thinking, how can I get, a referral or make a connection happen? And so I love that you've merged those two worlds. And it's funny, quick story around the idea of, like, Nearpoint. We're not going to take a lot of credit for the name, but Natasha, you reached out to me and you're like, can I use, the word Nearbound? Like, is it trademark and all that? I'm like, heck no. Like, you can use it as much as you'd like. We don't really care. Like, it's actually technically part of the Nearbound strategy, where it's organic language that people are using. And so, I don't think you fully understand just how much we were raving internally to be like, look, it worked. Like, we inspired someone to, influence the name of their business, and they're aligning with this methodology. And it's not anything new per se, but it is describing something that we've all kind of felt and wanted to take action on. So kudos to you for putting it to action and helping people do it.
It's almost like I forgot about that, but it is funny. I actually originally had named my company Nearbound Strategies. And then I was like, gosh, like, that's not it. Like, I didn't coin it, obviously. And that makes me so attached to it too, that I'm like, maybe I should step back a little bit. So I ended up going with Nearpoint.
Well, let's continue to, let's touch on that a little bit let's touch on that a little bit deeper. First off, I'm sure like you're kicking yourself now for not doing it, because I'm sure Nearbound's going to blow up and at some point.
Well, I do own the LLC of that.
Well, there you go. Oh, there's some leverage. We got some conversations to have with Jared and Will and the team. So there you go. You got the chips in your corner. But going back to the idea of like Nearbound and personal branding together, where do you relate to, you know, like when you think about your business and your niche and like your core services, like where do you really touch on kind of like the Nearbound experience just from like a personal branding perspective?
That's a great question. So, you know, when we look at like the first part of the work I do with my clients, it's around the personal brand. And then from there we build on it to like the more business development, social selling side of things. But as you're even just building your profile, I always tell them to think about one, like their favorite client, right? Or their favorite referral partner. Like, who are you actually talking to? And like, build it for them, right? Because that's who's going to be taking your LinkedIn and sending it to their, like to their network, right? Yeah. And so it's just so important to like, not just think about who is your ideal client, but your IRP, I call it, right? Your ideal referral partner.
Love it. IPP, IRP. They all blend together now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's really good. And then kind of, I guess, flipping that on its head, like we're talking about how you capitalize on business, but I'm sure there are challenges that you face, and whether that's kind of like bringing your business to the forefront, cause it's still pretty new. Like, talk to me a little bit about, you know, leveraging Nearbound and in personal branding is great, but I'm like, tell me about the challenges that you see there. Like, where do you see roadblocks, friction points, and how do you get past that?
In this space specifically, what's funny, it's like mindset is probably the biggest challenge. It's showing up, putting yourself out there. You know, so many of the people I've worked with, they have spent their entire career behind the scenes building their business, right? And so thinking about putting themselves out there now and like center of attention, like it's really hard to do that. And so, you know, a lot of times too, like when, you know, their network is already pretty well established, especially on LinkedIn at that point, they typically, their followers and connections that they have are people that maybe know and love them too. So it's sort of like reframing it a little bit to like help them understand that, no, it's just about showcasing your expertise in a way that not only do people want to work with you, but they're also more inclined to refer you, but also you're updating and, you know, telling your audience and your community, like, this is what I'm up to now, right? Like, this is what I'm doing. And so kind of sidetracked there a little bit, but it's really just like that mindset piece of like, they just have a really hard time doing that. It's that hitting that post button, you know?
Yeah. I could assume that a lot of your clientele kind of, well, I mean, like to your point, they've built a really solid foundation, like that is really hard to chisel down, because when you talk about mind shift or mindset shifts, Will, you and I are uber familiar with that. Like whether it's, you know, partnership expectations, you know, partners coming in that think they want it this way, but you've really got to kind of hone them in, or just like buy in from leadership and really kind of instilling that mindset shift and educating people is really important. So that's interesting, because like, to me, that's where I see a lot of crossover, is that in any business, but I think specifically in partnerships and what you're talking about, it's really trying to leverage and build trust early. So I to kind of tap into that, like what are some of those key points where you're trying to develop and break down that mindset, or not break it down, but shift it? What are some of those key components?
So, it's basically the program that I built is around that. It's training, accountability, content, and thought partnership. And that thought partnership aspect is split into social selling and business development, and then mindset and walking and talking through all that. So like having that thought partner to like talk through how to blend the professional and the personal, and like, you know, I'm struggling with this part of it. Like, how do I share this? Like these types of things that like, I actually didn't realize was going to be such a big part of the program is leading with that thought partnership. And so really the first quarter of it, it's a lot of conversation. Like they may not even be posting anything yet. It's more of just like getting in the habit, starting to think about personal branding in a way that does feel comfortable and natural and authentic to them, so that they can use this in a way to grow their network, to nurture their network, and to then build these types of partnerships, right? In a way that's like human, right? It's natural. It doesn't feel like you're doing business development or selling, right? It's just, it's a like a high integrity form of selling, you know?
I love it. So let's say I'm a CRO or a CEO or a founder, and I'm like, okay, Natasha, what you just said, you know, I'm pretty much picking it up and now I'm ready to like put dollars towards it. How does one get ROI from this? So if you were, you know, explaining, let's say this is an objection, how would you explain to, you know, me as the founder, CEO, CRO, that this translates into dollars, and maybe it's a step-by-step, or what's like the rationale that you would say to someone who's like, okay, you know, I'm bought into the concept. Now, how do I make it a business justification? What's your take on how it translates?
That's a really good question. And two parts to it. So one, you know, obviously the ultimate ROI question on personal branding has always been a thing, which is actually why I love this term nearbound, because I basically am explaining the concept through this nearbound strategy, and that it starts with you. And when they hear nearbound, it's like, well, that's a familiar term. Like, I have budget for inbound. I've got budget for outbound. Like, why wouldn't I have one for nearbound? Right. So kudos to you guys for helping me with that, because like, truly it's like broken that thing of like, oh wait, there is like, I can put money towards this. And so the other thing too, when you look at it, like, the ROI off of this may not be just in the traditional cash in hands. It might be through referral partnerships, right? It might be conversations with private equity. It might be new hires, mm-hmm. right? There's so many ways that you can see ROI from it. That's not just like literal cash, right? And so when you explain and walk through how that can help and how, you know, employee advocacy, which is what personal branding basically is, right? That can drive more, better, higher talent to your organization, right? These are things that people like and want, and they don't necessarily realize like there is a very simple solution to doing it, you know?
This this like is the you're so far ahead of like everybody else, and I'm not just saying that to flatter you, but I'm saying it because like when I started creating content and building a personal brand, you know, I wasn't calling it nearbound. Now I am, of course, but the way I've described it is it increases my luck surface area. I've met people that I never even would have fathomed that I would have met. And this is everywhere from advising opportunities to a guy who also lives in Toronto, you know, an hour away from me. And he helped me build a corporation and set up like my taxes, so it's all efficient and whatnot. And, you know, I'm paying myself as an employee, which, you know, 3-4 years ago, Will of the, you know, past would never have thought of. And so even just that, like I have so many anecdotal examples of like literally life-changing experiences from building a personal brand. And so if we think about it through the business context, like if I was building a business myself that whole time, I can only imagine that, like you said, you know, private equity, investors, hiring, all of that would have been influenced by that personal brand, because people would say, I want to work with Will. I want to partner with Will. I want to see what Will is working on from maybe a solution is relevant to me. So I love that. And the reason I said it's kind of like, you know, you're ahead of everybody else is because when people are thinking through the lens of, you know, partnerships and nearbound, they're thinking my business, my growth, maybe my ecosystem, hopefully, but they're thinking about it through this like sales, marketing, and success lens. They're not expanding it to equity or hiring, which it does mm-hmm. truly have an effect when you're known in the ecosystem through a nearbound strategy. People are going to want to work with you. So kudos to you for that. And yeah. You can definitely use the luck surface area comment.
I like that. Too. Yeah, that was good. I wrote that down. but it's funny you say that. So I actually, just before I moved to California from South Carolina, I spoke at the business school at USC. And all the students, which was crazy to me, still think that it is a job searching platform, LinkedIn. And I told them, like, because I never intentionally was trying to build my personal brand either. I did it out of fear and competition. I was an SDR, cold calling, smile and dial, $100 a day, and like absolutely terrible at it. Plus, it was like soul crushing. So I had to find a way to better connect with people, right? And so then I started to like leverage LinkedIn and network and connect and realize like there's just a really cool, authentic way of doing sales and business development. So like that was my starting point into it, but I can't even imagine like fresh out of college to look at LinkedIn as a way to like grow your network intentionally. I just like do the opportunities that you'd have. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, like LinkedIn to us 10 years ago or 15 years ago when we were, at least when I was leaving college, like it was to find job, or it was to like kind of just have a new social profile, right? Like it, to me, it wasn't anything else. And now it's just evolved, and it's even evolved in the past 6 months or the past 12 months. Like we see where it's heading, and it's eye opening to me that, you know, you're still hearing from college students that, hey, we use it to find jobs here, which that's how it was built. So it not a lot's changed in terms of like the vision of LinkedIn from the outside in, but like when you get inside, you're like, whoa, it's completely different. So I want to go back to a point you were talking about, kind of like connecting the dots with Nearbound and personal branding. And you mentioned like it was surprising to you that you had to focus more on that thought partnership piece, which kind of leads to the idea like, you know, you're now established and have, you know, business under your belt. What are the most surprising things, or maybe like business changing or mindset changing things that you've learned in the first 6 months, you know, learning from your customers or learning just from like the landscape that have kind of shifted what you've done even in the past 6 months of starting?
So I guess I also didn't necessarily realize, coming from the business development, SDR, BDR world, I didn't realize that most people don't actually know how to do that aspect of it. And so people I knew, you know, some of my clients actually were already actively posting stuff on LinkedIn and you know, sharing content pretty consistently too. I was really impressed by it, but they didn't have the like strategy behind how that can actually drive towards sales, right? And looking at it that way of referral partnerships, for example, like they never thought that they could be talking to companies or organizations that would like there's a synergy and we can do business together. Like, and so when that was shifted, one of my clients, she started targeting these other companies, and within like a month, she had literally signed 2 referral partnerships from it. And it was the coolest thing to see that happen. She was like, that was, you know, absolutely amazing to see. And it's actually around the same time that I had kind of an identity crisis too, because I actually thought I was in the personal branding space. And then one of my clients introduced me to someone as the most incredible sales coach that focuses on relationship building. I was like, oh, interesting, a sales coach. But it's like having, like connecting your personal brand to ROI and revenue is that hard part that people still don't necessarily see. They think of personal branding still as that like thought leadership, brand awareness type of thing, but don't see all the other aspects that come along with it, like partnerships.
Yeah. It's not surprising that I'm sure the clientele you work with just didn't have the playbook in front of them, right? Like they can kind of pick up on bits and pieces, but like to really holistically bring it together, you kind of learn really fast what skill sets you might not be the most confident in. And I think that's like, especially in my part, that's what really holds me back from trying to like be a top author on LinkedIn. Like it's just, you know, am I wasting resources? Like I feel like I have a voice, but I could see how that might be the kind of determining factors to really just push pause for some people. Do you have any advice for how you kind of like break through that with them? Speaking for a friend.
Yeah, right. So, and I really appreciate that question because I think there's a lot of outside of mindset, there's a lot of things that hold people back from showing up and doing this. And, you know, the thought that you also have to be posting every single day and that you have to have this whole system and playbook planned out for you, right? Like that just holds people back from actually even starting because it feels so overwhelming. But the thing is that you have to remember, it's not just about what you post. It's about the quality of conversations you're having behind the scenes and the relationships you're building off the platform. So you could post once a week if you wanted to and just start engaging in the comments. Like that's where conversations start, right? And so that's something that probably feels a little more natural. It's not front and center for everyone to see, but you're starting conversations and connecting with the right people that might fit your ICP or IRP, right? And that's the things that you can start to do that really just feel natural. So it's like baby steps into it. And then you're going to see, and the best part about it is that you'll start to see results from it. So you're going to be motivated to keep doing it, you know, and do more and start posting more and, you know, finding some sort of consistency around that. But like, it does work.
Yeah. It's funny. I did that today, comments because someone's like, well, partnerships is just sales, right? Like what am I missing? Or like partnerships of sales. And I'm like, well, like, let's back up and understand, like, if we're trying to compare an AE to a PM or a CAM, like let's talk about the inputs and the hats that we wear. And Will, I'm sure you would have some comments on that too. But that's really good. Cause I think that's probably to me in like the people that I know, like one of the biggest gaps is like, how do you just take that next step? Like, how do you really put yourself out there? And it's not, I think that you hit something really important, which is when you look at LinkedIn today, if you're trying to get into that space, you know, from the outside looking in, I'm saying like, I need to be spending like 2 hours a day on LinkedIn, scheduling posts daily and just blasting everyone, getting like in the algorithm and putting my name out there. But what you're saying is that like, I think it's just about building a very consistent rhythm that's most comfortable for you and being authentic in that nature.
Yeah. And that way you're also not like beholden to the freaking algorithm, which like, again, people are freaking out about right now because they're getting such low engagement. Somebody like commented, said they like deleted their post after 30 minutes because it got so few. And I'm like, guys, like, but it's not just about that, right? It's like, yes, that helps. And it's, and you can't help but look at the vanity metrics at times too, of course. Like it's there. You want to have some, you want to show relevancy and some sort of engagement, of course. But like, that doesn't build you relationships itself, right? Like you have to take it to that next level and like, be human with it, right? It's kind of like, you know, when you think about people looking into LinkedIn now, you know, what LinkedIn used to be was a digital copy of your resume, right? But now it's this never-ending, ongoing, digital, borderless conference where everyone's down to connect and network. And like, if you go to a conference, you're not just going to sit there and like hand out flyers, you're going to talk to people, right? Like, so there's just other ways you could do it that just like, again, feels more natural and authentic.
Yeah. And maybe this is a good like, general case study, although they didn't work with you, or maybe they did. But I have a friend who is following through with this, where he's not posting every day. He actually kind of like despises the typical like daily poster and gamifying the algorithm, trying to like just make the latest trendy post of you got to make a, I don't know, carousel or a poll or whatever is popular. He doesn't like that. His name's Saad Khan. He talks about sales, and what he's noticed is he's been doing this for, I don't know, maybe 3 years or so, 4 years of creating content. And it's now a revenue generating function where when they ask people, how did you hear about us? It's through social, and they don't have a social presence other than like the CEO and him and maybe a couple other employees, but they've invested in this personal branding and it truly is generating opportunities. And so one, Natasha, I should introduce you so that you can meet Saad if you haven't already. You've seen him in the ecosystem, but this is
#Nearbound.
Exactly. We're doing it. But what I want to dive into next is the like most effective strategy. And we always end with a tactical insight, and we can revisit that right at the end. But like, what's the best strategy when you're working with people to go like get things going? Like, is it just make your first post? Is it, you know, just talk to people you're already connected with? Where's that starting point that you have found is the easiest when working with people who might be a bit hesitant?
I think I kind of already said it, but I'll dive a little bit further into that, is that it's around like at least setting the foundation of you, your profile, right? In this case, LinkedIn, let's say, and update it, number one, because you probably haven't touched it since you joined your company 5 years ago or started your business, you know, 10 years ago, whatever that is. But when you look at it separately, think in like of your favorite client you've ever worked with, right? And if you are starting a business, maybe it is an ideal client, let's say, but if you have that one person, so like say it is Will, you are one of my clients, I'm going to like actually have you in mind. And as I look at my profile, I'm going to talk to you and think and make sure that like, if you were to see my profile, would Will say, yep, that's how she helped me. This is exactly what we did together. That's how I felt afterwards. And you know what? I'm actually really proud. I want to share her profile with my network because it's going to make me look good since I'm working with this expert. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that sort of like emotional connection that you build to someone you actually know, right? Like, it makes it much easier instead of trying to talk to everyone on LinkedIn, talk to that one person and then build it out for through that.
I love that. So start small, start with the one person, you know, there's gotta be a quote somewhere. I feel like I've heard it where it's like, if you help one person, you know, you've done your job for the day. So like start there, don't try and boil the ocean. And what I'm thinking about now, and this is like very, very tactical, but like, let's say I have that conversation and I want to keep making this a revenue generating function. How do I, in that call, make sure that everything we talked about is either actioned or there's this like CTA of it. Maybe it's a demo, you know, if it goes there, but like it could be something else. How do I make sure that I'm using that time most effectively? Is it like an agenda? Is it a following CTA at the last 5 minutes or an email? How do we like make it a business function? Cause then, for people who are listening, this will lead us into the tactical takeaway where it's like, this is the daily or weekly practice that you can do. What's your take on, you know, building some structure in that actual meeting to then help it move forward?
Yeah. So if there is a mutual fit, right, if you can tell that there's something, because a lot of times these conversations may have just started because there was a like commonality of some topic, right? And so then you meet and then it ends up being something that makes more sense. Like the way that I do it, it's maybe not super tactical by any means, but it's like, hey, do you want to have some sort of relationship like this where, because I do serve your clients, you serve mine as well. Let's figure out a way that we can benefit each other. It's sending that follow-up email and then giving them that like one-liner for them to be able to share to their network of, hey, this is so-and-so, this is what they do. So that's easy to refer me as well, right? That way they don't have to worry too much about it and go back to my LinkedIn and figure it out. I mean, hopefully your LinkedIn is up to date and has that one-liner for them, but make it as easy as possible so that, you know, you're able to continue that relationship. And then I always, you know, I'm really good about keeping in like contact of like doing some catch-ups, virtual coffees. Like it's just nice to check in with people too, right? And I know you can't have your calendar always full and full of discovery calls and coffees and that sort of thing, but like it doesn't help to like build the relationship. It doesn't happen just after one call. Like you have to be in each other's like worlds, at least top of mind somehow. So set up a, you know, quarterly call with them.
Nice. Keep it actionable. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Get something either recurring, give them something actionable that's simple and write it for them, which is very nearbound of you as well for, you know, the blueprint that we created, which I love. So yeah, give them something that they can use, set something regular and a clear just action. Even if it's like, hey, I saw you're connected to these five people. I would love an introduction. Here's how you can write it, like if you're comfortable with it. Like that is much more valuable than meeting ends, you go away to the rest of your day and like, you know, you maybe had a pleasant conversation, but it just doesn't like turn into anything. So I love that. I made a post recently and that's why I asked that question where I'm like, if there's no action, you wasted people's time on a meeting. So I like that the way you frame it is like, yeah, maybe it's a recurring, maybe it's that, you know, next step of asking for a referral, so on and so forth. So that's exactly how revenue leaders are going to, you know, nitpick at this and be like, how does this actually produce revenue? Well, yeah. You're setting next steps, just like a seller. Love it.
Love
Tom,
it.
Any other thoughts?
Before we get to, yeah, I do have one thought, and this is going to take us not off track, but maybe bring some light hardness in it, and then we'll get to the tactical takeaway. So Will, you and I have known each other for quite a bit now, and very early on, I got to know that you have a very unique Domino's pizza order. So if we're connecting the dots between what you, like one-liners and making sure that people can understand who you are, how would you tie your pizza order into your one-liner? Or what would your one-liner be with your pizza order?
Honestly, it'd be the whole pizza order at this point, because like it's interesting in and of itself where, you know, if a person understands what my pizza order is, I feel like that tells a lot about a person. And I feel like my order makes people trust me more. So
I will add to that. I've had it and it does make me trust Will more.
Okay. Well, what's the pizza order now? I got to know.
Tom, do I let the people know? I feel like you've been commenting about it on my posts and we might have brought it up on the podcast before, or should we keep it a mystery?
Well, I mean, let me ask you this. Do you want to build more connection now? Because if you give people the pizza order and they're willing to try it and now they trust you, you're going to get more connections. So give them the pizza order.
That's true. Okay. For anyone listening, if you do actually try it, then message me your thoughts on the experience. And I don't want to hype it up too much, but years ago when I found this pizza order to myself and was blown away by it, I had to bring it to my coworkers. So I brought it to parties and I said, guys, listen, I have a really good pizza order. I'm not just saying this because it's my order. You just have to try it. They tried it. And let me tell you that it inspired a whole other person and their partner, the romantic partner, to make that their regular order at their house. So, I mean, you decide for yourself, but the pizza order is, ordered from Domino's. Thin crust, because thin crust, you know, the crust is just the medium for the toppings to get into your body. You don't need more bread. It's just wasted calories. You get extra sauce, garlic parmesan, because you don't want the marinara. It's too boring. Garlic parmesan sauce, if it's available in your area, probably is. Double cheese, because, you know, pizza is basically cheese, so you want to double it up. Ham, pepperoni, and fresh tomatoes. The tomatoes add a nice acidity to all the fat that you're eating, and it goes well with the saltiness, so there's a bit of a tang to it. And it's just a great experience. So order it, let me know if you like it, and if you do, then you'll get added to the secret group of pizza lovers.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, Will, I did not expect you to really take that this far as you did, but I appreciate that. So now tying this back to the tactical takeaway, Natasha, if you can kind of sum up what we talked about today into one action item for the listeners, like connecting Nearbound, personal branding, what do you think that one tactical takeaway is that someone could start today and be like, hey, I feel like I'm taking up what Natasha's doing and actioning something?
Honestly, I think commenting. So think of five industry experts, thought leaders in your space that either your clients listen to, or you know you do, and you know they target their clients as well. But think of them, follow them, and start commenting and engaging with them. And it's not that you're just trying to target the creator itself. You're also trying to engage with their audience, right? And maybe they've got 60,000, 100,000 followers instead, right? Like engage with them. And yeah, just do five of those a day. Baby steps.
Love it. Yep. Baby steps. Well, Natasha, thank you so much for joining us today. Audience, we hope you got plenty out of it. I know we all did. And we will catch you next time on another episode of the Howdy Partners podcast.
Thanks so much.